at the 2018 World Credit Union Conference in this wonderful place called Singapore that we're all kind of, we're this big melting pot of credit unions here. Angus, we're here with Angus Ohoka. Did I get it right?
Absolutely spot on.
Spot on. We like that. From BitCub. How are you?
BitCub. Yes, very good. Thank you. Cheers for having me here and for spending a bit of time talking to me about the project. Super excited about.
Well, I want to talk to you. I want to start out with, hey, how's the conference going for? Because your booth is right across. We're kind of neighbors almost.
Neighbors. So very well so far.
Good.
Thankfully. And there's a lot of interest in what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But I find overall there's a huge amount of camaraderie, there's a huge amount of positive energy in the place, and it's great to see credit unions getting on so well and
indeed,
you know, doing the work that they're doing worldwide. 230 million members worldwide, 58 countries represented here.
That's pretty cool.
And from places you just would not expect. And the flag ceremony was stunning, you
know, indeed,
that to have that, all that color, all that pizzazz, and
people are very proud.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very proud. Not only proud of where they're from, but they're proud to be representing credit unions as well. So I think it's
honor. Yeah, it's coming here all the way to Singapore and to be representing your credit union is a big deal.
Yep, indeed. And I've seen a lot of people in your booth. You've been a busy man the last couple of days. So well done.
We have. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, we're trying to be as inclusive as possible. So the platform we're creating is very much based on the members of credit unions coming together to use blockchain technology.
Yeah, tell me about BitCub a little bit before we get into the blockchain topic.
So it's very interesting. So we've been in the space, we've been working with credit unions for the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. So our first products were mobile apps and online banking services. Mm-hmm. So predominantly in the UK and Ireland. And we decided 3 years ago that blockchain technology was something that we wanted to implement. So BitCub is basically a platform for credit unions whereby they can log on, they can choose their particular requirements, and they'll find a matching blockchain technology to satisfy those requirements.
Okay.
So one example could be remittances.
That's a big one.
Sending money from Singapore, let's say, to Japan or further afield, maybe to Australia. So they, at the moment, would either have to use a service, or the members would have to use a service such as Western Union or MoneyGram, and pay up to 10%, and then maybe wait 7 days. But not only that, have to fill out so much paperwork in the process. So the BitCub platform would basically allow them to access the best service to be able to deliver that for almost instant transactions, which means that they don't have to wait 7 days, and it costs them a fraction of the money that it would normally cost them. Because with the likes of, so let's say if you're on a low income salary here in Singapore and you're trying to send some money back, let's say to a certain part of India, for example, you will find that you're paying maybe $10 in every $100. And you can ill afford that. You know, if you're on a minimum wage,
that's expensive.
You know, you're trying to support a family back home. So we believe in trying to redress that balance and give the power to the credit unions to be able to affect those sort of transfers.
That's amazing work. And I think that's going to benefit quite a few people on this planet.
Well, hopefully.
Because there's a lot of remittance going on in multiple countries.
$500 billion at the moment is the annual remittance market. So
that you can, that you're able to track and stuff as well. You
You see, that's the beauty of it, the fact that you know exactly where that is at any point in time. I mean, I had a meeting with the credit union in Shume, Ireland, on the west side of Ireland, and one of our current customers with our online and mobile banking app. And they were telling us that they do a transfer, let's say, on Tuesday, it gets debited from a member's account same day. They have no idea where that is in the system until the following Thursday.
Goodness.
It goes into this black hole, you know? And we all know the middlemen are creaming a certain percentage.
That was going through my mind.
Exactly. Yeah. The longer they sit on that money, the more they're going to earn from it. Interest. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So unfortunately, it's some of the poorest people on the planet that are suffering as a result.
Yeah.
So anyway, when the money does arrive, they still have to convert it into local currency. So we're partnering with banks, we're partnering with credit unions to make that whole process as seamless as possible. Mm-hmm. So there's a number of different factors that are really important for remittance. So it's speed, it's cost, it's reliability, security really important, okay? Fungibility, it's a funny term, I know, it sounds...
What is that? Fundability?
Fungibility.
Oh, yeah. Explain that.
It almost sounds rude, but it's not actually. It means that you can convert your fiat currency into a cryptocurrency, a digital asset, and then transfer it back again.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That sounds logical.
So,
why do they have to have such a funny name, though?
I know.
Can we rename it something else?
Me. No, exactly. Transferability.
There you go.
Liquidity.
Yeah. Fungibility. All right. Yeah, well, cool. Yeah. Well, that's amazing work. I'd like to see how it progresses in the next few years. That'd be kind of fun to revisit and stuff like that. So,
great. Yeah. I'd look forward to doing demos for you.
Oh,
and I hope you use our services. I hope you're a member of your local credit union.
I am. I don't do much remittance, though.
Credit union is it?
San Diego County Credit Union.
And if your credit union were to offer more services, would you use it?
Of course I would.
Okay.
Of course I would. Yeah.
Okay. And how much more do you love your credit union than you love your bank?
A lot. Because I know they have proven to me that they are on, not only are they on the forefront of technology, but they know stuff before a bank does in our area. So I mean, I bank at a bank and I bank at a credit union, and I do that on purpose to see who does what first, and it's kind of like my informal survey or my informal.
That's really interesting. You find that your credit union knows stuff before your bank does. In what respect?
Technology wise, like when we had to do the EMV chip thing. You didn't have to do it, but us in the States, we had to.
Yeah.
My credit union was on that, like day one. My bank was 6 months down the road. I'm like, well, come on, guys.
That's incredible.
And as far as like fingerprint technology, the Touch ID, my credit union was on that way before my bank was. So it's just little
really
things like that reassure me that my credit union is really on top of that stuff. Yeah. And the credit union that I belong to is like a fraction of the size of the bank that I belong to.
How many members in your credit union?
I don't know. They're like $8 billion, I think, something like that. I mean, they're a large credit union.
Yeah.
I don't know how many members.
Okay.
Off the top of my, I could find that out pretty quickly.
But let's say if you're to look at the assets with your bank in comparison, it would be multiples of that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So in theory, they should be far further ahead of the game.
Yes. That's what keeps blowing me away. They keep beating them to the punch.
Well, you see,
sweet.
This is fascinating. First observation is that, you know, we don't get the same sort of level of service from credit unions in Ireland because they would appear to be held back to a certain extent anyway by regulations.
Oh, yeah.
So it's more difficult for them to get a current account, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, credit unions in the US are far more developed, let's say, than credit unions in other parts of the world. So in effect, you are pretty much spoiled where you are.
Thank you.
Which is great, which is fantastic, because it means you can fly a flag and you say, well, if it works for a credit union in the States, why can't it work for a credit union in Ghana?
Yep.
Or in Dublin.
Exactly.
Or Singapore.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I think it's fabulous that, you know, your credit union is providing that level of service.
Yes.
And the other thing as well, there was a survey done last year looking at customer satisfaction and customer experience in Ireland. So the credit unions were up against the big brands like the Tesco's, the Microsoft's, you know, big multinationals, and they came out on top because of the customer experience. Mm-hmm. So I actually think credit unions are ideally poised to take the lion's share away from business in the banks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the smarter ones and those ones that can be provided with the right level of services and technology can bypass them, can take them over and go like, okay, see you later, guys. This is our game now.
And I get the feeling they're much more nimble. They can move quicker on things, such as technology and other aspects as well. Whereas a bigger bank, they're like an oil tanker, just trying to get that thing around. And whereas, you know, a credit union, they're this little speedboat just doing their thing. So it's pretty cool to see.
But I mean, I'm not sure whether you're familiar with JP Morgan and Jamie Dimon and, you know, the comment he made about Bitcoin, you know, being a scam.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
Yeah. He actually made a comment there. I think it was last year or beginning of this year, whereby he was basically saying that, you know, cryptocurrencies are just like a fad. They're going to die.
Really? Because I was just walking the street here yesterday looking for something to eat, and one of the restaurants by the road said, hey, we accept cryptocurrency.
There's
reality.
Yeah,
it's here.
It's here. It's alive and kicking.
It
and
is.
It's going nowhere.
Blew me away. I went, oh my gosh. Yeah, wow. I've never seen that sign before.
But you see, the problem with banks is that it's not just the culture, but it's also down to the reward mechanisms. Mm-hmm. You know, the banker's bonuses, Jamie Dimon is on $30 million annual salary, and that's without his bonuses. And I think they worked it out. $70 million in total, in terms of, you know, what
is that all?
Yes. And you know, there is an expectation within the banking world that people will get rewarded to that extent.
Very much so.
But unfortunately, it means that the culture can be very cutthroat, and people are stepping over bodies, you know, to get to.
But the
culture on the credit union side of things is far more benevolent, is far more,
let's say, humble.
Humble, yeah, exactly.
Very humble.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm not saying, you know, the people that work at the bank that I bank at, they're very nice people. They do a good job. They do very well.
Yeah.
But I think it's the way the business is set up, you know?
Correct.
You know, so it's not a cooperative.
No,
they're not in the community
as much.
You're
there for the shareholders.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. Hey, let's get on to part two of our conversation.
Okay. We will get there eventually.
We will, because this really interests me as well.
Yeah.
Blockchain demystified. This is what you're talking about here at the show, and I think this topic is still science fiction to a lot of people. And you're here talking about and trying to make it a reality to people. And it's still a concept that's really hard for people to wrap their heads around, you know, except for those that live in it on a daily basis, like you and a lot of other technology folks around here. So give us a quick overview on what you said or what you will say to people talking about demystifying blockchain. Can we demystify it?
Well, I actually had a 10-year-old explain it to everybody yesterday morning.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Good for you.
I love kids.
They do make things simple.
Our kids are just wonderful, you know, at basically breaking things down and making it digestible for
us. What did he say?
Well, basically, he said that...
Or he, she, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to...
It's probably not just what he said, it's how he said it.
Okay.
You know, and basically... It was breaking it down, looking at, I suppose, instead of having one computer, having loads of computers as part of this massive network, and it's all connected like a spider web.
Right.
And instead of having to rely on X, Y, and Z, we can now rely on hundreds of computers.
Mm-hmm.
We know that our information is stored in each one of those.
Right.
Okay, so it's safe, it's secure, and it means that if one goes down, I don't have to rely on the second one. Mm-hmm. I can rely on thousands of others in the system.
Mm-hmm.
So the other part of it was the fact that we have transactions at the moment. People want to shift money from A to B, and they have all these obstacles in the way. Why shouldn't I be able to transact with you?
Yeah.
Why shouldn't I be able to give Mike $100 right here, right now?
Right.
Okay. Why do we need these 14 middlemen? So
good point.
That was a key part of the message yesterday, the fact that with the cryptographic technology the way it is today, you don't have to have a trusted party between me and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
We can have a system whereby it'll check my balance, check for unspent funds. It'll know that I'm not trying to send it to 10 mics around the planet and have this double spend issue that has always been an issue with let's say digital payments. Also, as part of the process, I know with this distributed ledger technology, which is like a bit of a mouthful, but it basically means that you've got your bunch of computers talking to each other. But I know with that technology that it's going to be secure, it's going to be safe, it's going to be reliable, and it'll get to Mike in the shortest possible time.
That's what
depending
we want.
On the blockchain technology we're using, because there's all sorts of different blockchain technologies.
Oh goodness.
So I'm sorry to throw that in there, but
Angus,
there are
I was going along with it really well.
I know.
You
yeah,
said
yeah.
cryptographics, yeah, yeah. and now there's different yeah. blockchains.
There's mist, right. Okay, look, here's the thing, right. How have we accounted for transactions in the past? We have a book. It's called a ledger. So I put down, Mike, $10 on the 16th of July, 2018. Okay. So my balance has been deducted the $10, okay? And it's been credited to Mike. Mm-hmm. That's basically. Instead of having that in a book, you have it in a secure cloud, a blockchain-backed cloud, mm-hmm. which means that every transaction is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's visible.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the transaction is complete when you said it was going to be complete, mm-hmm. okay? It can't be tampered with in any way, shape, or form. You can't get out the Tippex and go, actually, no, it was only a dollar, Michael. I didn't really mean to send you 10. It was actually dirt. God. My bad. Anyway, so it's immutable, okay? It is secure. It is a way of seeing all your transactions in one place. And it is something that will provide the basis, the platform for our financial systems mm-hmm. for years to come.
Mm-hmm. Where does the credit union fit in all of this?
Okay, so at the moment, the credit unions would use back-end systems provided by the likes of Fiserv or Temenos. And they, in a lot of cases, are not served properly because, and the guys do a great job, obviously, but the issue is those systems have, in the main, been designed for the large banks. So they're not really designed for the smaller credit unions that might only have, like, 2,000 were the number of members in the credit union mm-hmm. that I spoke to this morning
mm-hmm.
in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
So who have a completely different set of requirements.
Yeah,
to bank. So,
right.
So why should they have to spend whatever it is, you know, it can be a million upfront fee and then 10,000 maintenance fee every month. That's only for like 100,000 members. So why should they have to pay that amount? Why can't they actually have a system,
mm-hmm.
a distributed ledger technology, a blockchain-based system
mm-hmm.
that they've all taken part in, or they've all had ownership of, to affect a better back end? So that's basically what we're creating.
Okay.
So the credit unions, to come back to your question, will be able to take advantage of this, okay, by signing up to the BitHub platform, okay, and being part of this global network.
Okay.
Which means you can be anywhere on the planet and you can transfer money and you can use the best technology, because we'll be using artificial intelligence
mm-hmm.
to be able to take, I know I basically,
there's another wrinkle in there, Angus.
Bamboozles you with the with all the different types of blockchain technology. But you don't need, this is the good news, you don't need to worry about it, because the artificial intelligence that is there to serve you and your credit union,
that will worry
and everything
for me.
It'll basically do all the worrying, it'll do all the sweat, all the heavy lifting, and mm-hmm. come up with whatever technology will
yep.
best suit your human needs.
Got you.
In the real world.
My next question to you, Angus, is why is this so important today? What's the significance of it today?
Okay, so we're 2018.
Yep.
2008 was when the first blockchain product was conceived as we know it today mm-hmm. by an entity called Satoshi Nakamoto.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up with the idea of this peer-to-peer cash system. Now, it wasn't the first. There was a lot of work before that.
Sure.
But why is it so relevant today? Fast tracking 2018, Bitcoin, in all its 10 years in existence, has not been hacked. Think of the number
That's
of
amazing.
Banks.
That's amazing.
Banks and back-end systems
yeah, yeah,
that have
yeah.
gone wrong.
Yeah.
Because they have patchwork quilted systems mm-hmm. that have never really been integrated properly.
Yeah.
Okay, so most of the IT expenditure now goes on trying to make these legacy systems that have been around for centuries in some mm-hmm. cases talk mm-hmm. to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that when you adopt a blockchain or distributed ledger technology mm-hmm. system, you can replace those systems, okay, with a far more effective, far more streamlined, far more reliable
system. This is a massive upgrade.
It's a massive upgrade, but for a fraction of the cost.
That's why it's even better.
That's why credit unions are ideally positioned mm-hmm. to take advantage mm-hmm. because it'll be years before the banks decide, you know, oh God, you know, we need to get this in place. Although mm-hmm. some of them are doing it now.
Oh yeah.
But the whole point of it, you coming back to your point, mm-hmm. credit unions are leaner, they're smaller, they can be faster mm-hmm. at adopting yeah. the technology. Yeah. The only issue is regulation. So what we need to do is work with our regulators to make sure that they're buying into this as well. But my gut feeling is it almost needs to be a ground up movement. So we need to get all the credit unions in the world going, okay, this is something we need now. Mm-hmm. Okay, we need a fair, we need a more cost effective, we need a more reliable system.
Mm-hmm.
Why should we be relying on the banks all the time?
Exactly. Exactly.
Let's do it.
All right. Sounds good to me. Angus, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate it.